I mean, I'm not going to be using PowerPoint tonight, but we moved around our furniture at our house, and I forgot to plug the printer back in. And when I realized that we were supposed to be at choir for choir practice. So forgive me if you will. Man, I've asked Sister Tricia and Sister Olivia and the musicians, thank you, Brother Michael, if they'd help me tonight. I sent word to Brother Tim Lorito and Brother Kenneth Cruz. They're out at OBI. And I was just telling them all about what God has been doing, just even since the new year, about the way that He has been challenging our hearts and bringing us seemingly closer to Himself. I told Brother Tim what Pastor's been preaching on. He said, oh man, I'd love to be there. And you know, we started out the year and Pastor began to preach on heaven. My heart was stirred, Brother Steve, for a land that I've not yet got to. But since that series is closed, he's began to preach upon hell. And my heart has been stirred for those who are not bound to the same destination I am. And today in preparation, and I was reading my text, and this song just came to my heart. And I love to hear Sister Tricia sing this and Sister Livy play this song. You know, there's times where we prepare, you know, hoping somebody will be there that will get help, Sister Rhonda. I asked several people that aren't serving the Lord to be here tonight. Sadly, they didn't come. And I thought as I was sitting up here and the service was just going on, and I don't know, church, God's doing something tonight. I feel Him stirring us. I said to myself, you know, there's times where we just, God, I don't, who would this sermon be for? I don't know. I really don't. Sometimes, I hate to admit it, we think we know who God wants to speak to, when in reality, there's many of us tonight that probably have come with burdens heavy on our hearts, needs in our lives that we just need the Lord to come by and touch us. But I was thinking tonight, God, if there's somebody here that this will help, do it. But if there's not anybody here, I feel like I just got to get it off of my heart. Amen. So I've asked Sister Tricia if she would sing this. And amen. We're just going to let the Lord do whatever He wants to do tonight. Go ahead, Sister Tricia.
Jesus said, here I stand. Won't you please let me in? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am He who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow, I'll give my life. Tomorrow, I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say. Tomorrow, who promised you tomorrow? You better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be too late. Tomorrow I'll give my life. Tomorrow I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say. Tomorrow, who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be too late. And who said tomorrow would ever come for you? Still you laugh and play and continue on to sing. Tomorrow, forget about tomorrow. Won't you give your life today? Oh, please, don't just turn and walk away. Tomorrow, tomorrow is not promised. Don't let this moment slip away. Your tomorrow could very well begin today.
Let's turn on our Bibles to the book of Haggai, the Old Testament. Book of Haggai, chapter 1. Thank you, Sister Tricia and musicians. Appreciate your help tonight. Hallelujah. And then while you're turning, I want to reiterate what Pastor said about winter warm-up. We want everyone to be there that's here tonight. Please help us have a successful start off to revival. I was telling someone before church, and I firmly believe this, young people, it doesn't matter if they're in a youth service, they need adults to lead them. And we can get in trouble in a quick hurry if we eliminate the adult from the youth. You know, I've heard it said before, we need to have youth music, youth focus, youth service. And we're gearing it towards the young people, Fred, and I don't want you to get mistaken what I'm saying, but I'm saying we need you to be a leader in worship, to be a help in the altars. And we've invited several churches from around the Miami Valley, and some are coming from Kentucky, some are coming from Indiana, Northern Ohio, and so we really want your presence there. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. So if you could help us Friday night, service starts at 7:30, and I can't promise you that you'll get to sit in your usual seat, but at least you'll be in your usual church. So I hope that don't deter you from coming. You might have to just get here early, Brother Maggard. Just be here early and you can sit there if you want. Amen. Book of Haggai, chapter number 1. If you would stand for the word tonight. The book of Haggai, chapter number 1. I'll begin reading in verse 2. Now I want to say that I understand tonight the thought that I have on my heart does not directly apply in the context that this scripture is talking about. This prophet is trying to relay a message to God's people about rebuilding the temple of the Lord, the physical temple, and the children of Israel at this moment are in captivity. The temple's been destroyed, and God is encouraging his people to rally again together, to get their minds off of themselves and get it focused again upon the Lord, upon the Holy Land. Tonight I have in my heart a desire, not only for our young people, but for myself, that we make sure in these last days that our hearts are a place where God can dwell. That the place that we gather, and this is the church, this building that we assemble in, this is our local church, and I'm so thankful for this place. What a beautiful church that God has allowed us to be a part of. But the church is not just a building of four walls. It's in the heart of every believer. And tonight I want to preach on your heart, his house. It's your heart, but I'm praying to God it's his house. Hallelujah. Let's begin reading in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about those three words, how powerful they are. Consider your ways. Let's continue. Verse 6 says, ye have sown much, and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Again, what does he say? consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that the prophet here in the scripture is implying, Brother Leitner, a physical temple to be rebuilt. But I can't help but feel tonight that though we don't have a physical temple where the presence or the Shekinah glory of God dwells in a physical way, the Lord has said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if we are not careful, we can allow the influence of the world, the motives, the attitudes, to creep into our hearts and defile and taint what God has purposed and planned to be a holy temple. Amen. Tonight I want to preach on your heart, His house. Amen. Would you pray with me tonight? Amen. For this message. Heavenly Father, I come before you. God, I humble myself at your feet, Lord. I need your anointing. God, I want to preach what I feel you've placed upon my heart. I pray that you would apply it to every individual tonight, including myself. Let your word be illuminated in our hearts. Shine in the darkest regions of our soul, Lord. Show yourself strong. Meet us around these altars, O God. I want to leave differently tonight than when I came. Lord, we feel your presence here. God, drawing us closer to a state of revival. I pray that it would continue tonight in our hearts. O Lamb of God, receive the glory for what you're about to do. And we say tonight, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Your heart, but His house. We know tonight that in the Old Testament, the children of Israel served God. And many different times throughout their existence, God would be with them in a visible way. When they were delivered out of Egypt, there was the cloud by day and the fire by night that the children of Israel followed. They saw that visible presence of God. Later on, they pitched a tent for the presence of God, and His Spirit dwelt, and the children of Israel would position each tribe to where they would be able to be focused towards the presence of God. Later on, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, we hear of Solomon fulfilling, Brother Brad, the desire of Solomon's father, King David. You see, King David, throughout his life, had a desire to build God a permanent house, a permanent dwelling place, a temple. But because of the sins that David had committed and because of the blood that he had upon his hands, although his desires were valid and his desires were good to have a permanent house for God, he was not permitted by the Lord to fulfill his desire and dream. But God did bless David with a son named Solomon, and he continued that dream of his father into Solomon's heart. And Solomon took upon himself the goal of completing a tabernacle, a house for the God Jehovah. And so it took many years, but they completed it. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 6, we see the opening ceremony, or the giving of this temple to God in honor and worship. But in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house, filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. At this opening ceremony, there was an omnipotence, an omnipresence. There was a looking to God, amen, because they knew the power of an almighty God had entered into their presence. These people that were surrounded, amen, by this physical tabernacle, they saw the presence of God. They knew what it felt like to be in the presence of their Creator, and they knew what it was to bow in worship to an almighty King, an almighty God. God. They knew who their God was. But it's not very long. There's another king that comes up. And another king after that, and a king after that, and the Bible says that many kings arose after Solomon, whose heart was not like their father David, but it was towards evil, it was towards wickedness, and it's not many years, Brother Steve, until a foreign invader comes, and the Babylonians come, they destroy this temple. What once was a grander, what once was a beautiful house, is now a desolate, broken down, a pile of rubble. It was once the most beautiful, amen, place in the world, and yet now it's nothing more than broken down rocks. And as I read the prophecy that the Haggai was telling to the people, I could not help but link that we now are in a condition in our generation where we are not seeing a physical temple breaking down before us, but the enemy is coming in, and the heart that was supposed to be, amen, a temple before an almighty God is being decimated, and it's being destroyed, amen, and broken before our eyes. Later on in Haggai, it says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? It is not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing. Imagine if this crowd at the opening would have been there in captivity. There would have been a different feeling amongst the people. You see, this people in captivity were willing to stay in captivity. They were content with themselves. Although they were in a state of imprisonment, they were content as long as they had their own way. They had their own houses, but it was in captivity. They had their own lives, but it was in captivity. They did everything they wanted to do, but let us not forget, they were not free. They were in captivity. And Haggai is reminding them, hey, you cannot live here and be content and expect God to be pleased with you. The Lord said, amen, the Lord said here in verse 2 that the people said, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Verse 4 says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? You see, when we begin to turn our hearts away from God, not only does our physical man be affected, but the spiritual heart that once was living and flourishing with the presence of God dwelling in it begins to be laid wasted to and destroyed. And God is calling out to them, how can you stay in your condition knowing that there is a physical house that once was a beautiful place where I dwelt? How can you live content and where you're at knowing that I am not living where I ought to be? Now, we all know that God is larger than any one house. We know that God is larger than the universe. He is infinitely God. I mean, there is no end to Him. But there was a significance to the temple. It showed the relationship with God and His people. It showed a place of coming back year after year, bringing ourselves before the God who freed His people, who protected His people. It brought them back yearly to a place of reconciling themselves before God. You see, the temple represented really how the nation felt about God Himself. And so now we see that they are in a condition of being where they have no desire at all to rebuild what once stood for everything they lived for. And I look across the climate today, and I see some folks who at one time would have bowed before God, amen, in humility and worshiped Him with their all, but because their condition of their heart is no longer towards their God, they are content to live in captivity, content to sit in a state of eternal slavery, and they never see that God would have for them a life of freedom again. Does not God deserve a dwelling place? Hallelujah. Brother Burr, I didn't deserve Him either, but I'm sure glad He chose me. Hallelujah. Amen. How about you tonight? Are you glad the Lord saved you?
He deserves a dwelling place. You see, from the beginning, mankind was separated from the rest of creation. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, that we were created in His image. From the very beginning, there was a special bond with mankind and with God the Creator. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. There was a relationship there. But we see that the serpent came in and that they chose to walk away from this relationship. Sin will always destroy what God had intended for you. Sin will always wreck the bond that you had with your God. Sin will always lead you away from Him. It seems that our flesh, our desires, always want to go after the world, always want the things of the world, and yet God's Spirit would draw our hearts back, that our temple would be a place where He could dwell. He deserves a dwelling place tonight, and sin wants to destroy. Amen. Just like the Babylonians destroyed the physical temple, we have an enemy tonight that wants to destroy the temple of our hearts. Amen. Young people, there's an enemy that wants to destroy you from serving God. But if we will stay with Him, amen, He'll walk with us. Amen. We talk about that relationship with Adam and Eve and God. But hey, there's a relationship that we can have that even the angels don't understand. We walk with our God. Amen. And if we'll stay with Him, amen, He will bring us all the way home. But many hearts today seem to be in a state of condition that is broken down before Him. What did it say here in verse 6? It says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes." Now, if that doesn't describe the life of an unbeliever, I don't know what does. Constantly working and without being satisfied. Constantly thirsty and yet feeling like you need more. Working and working and working, trying to get to the end of where you think you ought to be. Only, Brother Maggard, to put those earnings into a bag with holes. What's that mean? It means that everything you live for falls by the wayside. As soon as you put it in, it's gone. That's what the life of a sinner will live. That's the way that they will be. It'll be a constant state of longing, a constant state of desire, a constant state of hunger for what God would have, and yet they don't want what God could give them. Listen, Brother Hurst preached this morning, amen, a wonderful message. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to have that. You don't have to live, amen, for yourself and be constantly in a state of want. I was reminded over the weekend of how selfish sin is and how that we as humanity, we want it our way, and we work, and we struggle, and we try. And sometimes we hear success stories. But the American dream really has been a dead end for a lot of people. Many folks have heard of the American dream, and they have labored, they have given themselves to their work, and they've been successful. But there are many that tried and failed and tried again and failed again. And we see in the spiritual realm, though, there's many that have their own ambitions. They know the way that would get them to success. They know the way that would get them satisfied. They know the way that would fulfill them inside. Let me remind you, God designed your heart, your spiritual heart, to be His tabernacle. From birth, God had a plan for you to be a Christian. God has made every human on this planet to have a desire in his heart to know him. He has designed us to want a relationship with him. And when we do not fulfill what God has put inside of us from the beginning, there will be a constant state of desire. You will never satisfy what God intended you to have without him. You will never accomplish where you are supposed to be if you don't have him in your life. And so God is calling us tonight, amen, to be reminded that without him we have nothing, but with him we can build a house, amen, that God would be pleased to dwell in. Hallelujah. Sin will never satisfy. It's so simple. It's always going to leave you feeling like you need more. But tonight, if you're not housing God in your heart, thankfully, you can start today. Hallelujah. I wanted Sister Tricia to sing that song tomorrow because I've heard many times that line again and again. I plan on serving God, but I want to do it tomorrow. But I want to encourage you tonight that if your heart is not in a condition where God could dwell, you see, he's a holy God. He, in the Old Testament, in that temple, he dwelt there. The problem was, normal folks like you and I would never have had the opportunity to go in. Unless you were born into the family of the priest, you had no opportunity to stand before God. He made a way, and the priest would go in and offer sacrifices for us. He would have done that. But you and I ourselves would never have been able to know what it felt like to worship him in his presence. We would have never been able to know what it was like to lay our head upon our pillow at night and have the peace of God in us. We would have never been able to know what it was like to feel the guilt and shame torn away from us by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We would have never been able to experience that. But you see, when Jesus came, he came for us, and we were reminded again today of what an awful price Christ paid on the cross. But while he was doing that, Brother Leitner, while he was paying the penalty for you and I, the Bible said that he gave up the ghost, and there was a veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from an outer room. And you see, once the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, only he could go in. There was only one man, one time a year. But when Jesus died, the Bible said that that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. What was God saying? God was saying, I've dwelt in this temple, this physical temple. I've dwelt here, and I've dwelt here. But now that my son has come, he's paid the price. Sister Debbie, he opened up the way for us to enter into his presence. No longer do we have to go to Jerusalem, to the temple. We can have the temple of God inside of us. Jesus Christ living in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus knew what he was doing. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how the blood of bulls and of goats could not continually again forgive man's sins. But after Jesus came, he was that one sacrifice. All that was needed. From henceforth, there should be no more need of sacrifice because he paid the price. Listen, our hearts tonight have been designed by an almighty God. The same God that created the universe created your heart tonight. And he created you so that he could inhabit you. He wants to have a divine relationship with you tonight. And if your heart, amen, is not in a place where you are able to house God, it can be made ready tonight. Amen. If the music could come. If we are not a Christian, if you're not a Christian tonight, then your temple is without its maker. And if you are not a Christian, you are filling yourself up with things that will never satisfy you.
But I love this about Jesus. Not only is he the only one that can save us, which he can, but he's the one that can clean out our hearts when we have no ability to do it on our own. So you see, we put all this junk from the world in our hearts. But in a moment, God, by His ability and by His blood, can wash us as white as snow. And the things that we put in there, in a moment, can be cleaned out. Amen. We might have been rags and dirt and nothingness before God. But after we met God, amen, our heart is cleansed. And we are able, amen, to have a divine relationship with our Creator. Hallelujah. In a moment. In a moment, you could be here, and in a moment, you could be up there. But you've got to have him in here before you can go up there. Amen. I don't know about you, church, but it scares me to know that we are closer than we've ever been to the end. I want my family to be saved. Amen. I want my friends to be saved. But tonight, if you're not ready, there's no need to put it off. If you're not ready tonight, there's no need to delay. It's time that we clean our hearts out and let the Almighty God come in and do it. Hallelujah. Can we stand across the house tonight?